Reactor online. Sensors online. Weapons online. All systems nominal.
Hello, everyone. Carrie here with the Unicorn Company podcast. Today, we're going to be talking about the history of Battletech, but not so much the history inside the universe, so much as outside of it. Before we do that, there is a bunch of stuff that has happened in the past few months as far as minis coming out, and we need to take a look at all of the amazing stuff that's happened. But before we do, the raffle to benefit the Trevor Project has finally finished taking entries, and I will be doing the drawing on the first weekend of September. I am doing it then because I have to catch up with the number of entries, because I'm actually doing it the old-fashioned way and filling out a ticket for each entry. So if you have, like, if you donated $50 and have 10 entries, I have to fill out 10 raffle tickets for that with your name. So once I have that done, the first week in September on the weekend, I will be doing the drawing and going from there, and you know, then we'll get everybody their stuff, and you know, everybody will be super happy, and we will have raised over $7,200 for the Trevor Project, bringing our 2-year total so far over $14,000. I want to thank all of you, every single one of you, for helping us make that happen. Now, getting to Catalyst Game Lab's accomplishments. The first that I want to mention is the new Grey Death Legion Force Pack. This force pack includes 4 mechs in plastic, a jumping Shadowhawk, K2 catapult, a new variant of the Gargoyle, and the Regent Omnimech. This force pack is a Barnes & Noble exclusive and comes in at $29.99. Also newly available is the Snords Irregulars force pack. This one contains another 4 mechs, the Spartan, a new mech, Shorty Sneed's Rifleman Frankenmech, a jumping version of the Guillotine, and a new variant of the Highlander with a really big fucking gun. The Snords Irregulars Force Pack retails for $29.99, but is available from Fortress Miniatures and Fortress Games and Miniatures. No, Miniatures and Games. I'm having a day. Give me 1 second. I need to actually look at my sponsor's website and see which one it is, because I'm just like, not here. I'll explain in a minute. Yes, it's Fortress Miniatures and Games. I will explain after the news and before we get into the topic. The next one we have out is the Urban Mech Lance Pack. It contains 4 different variants of the Urban Mech for all of you out there who love this weird little monster. And it retails for $29.99 and is available from Fortress for $22.49. The last of the new Force Packs is the Proliferation Cycle Force Pack. This Force Pack contains 7 mechs that were all instrumental. They were all instrumental in the early history of battle mechs as they made it into the battlefield, the proliferation, if you will. These include not necessarily the first mech, but early mechs from each house, the Mackie for the Terran Hegemony, the Emir for the Laren Commonwealth, the Gladiator for the Draconis Combine, the Icarus II for the Free Worlds League, and Firebee for the Capellan Federation. The Hammer Hands for the Federated Sons, and finally the Kyotl, the first Omnimech for the clans, Clan Coyote in particular. This big 7 mech force pack retails for $44.99, but you can pick it up from Fortress for $29.99. Okay, so getting into the history of Battletech. Well, actually, before we do, let me explain something real quick. And this is just going to take me a minute, but it's a little tiny window into my life. So let you know why I'm a little hazy-headed right now. All right, so I am in Wisconsin at the moment. My brother is having his wedding, one of my 2 brothers. And I'm very excited because I am a bridesmaid. I'm going to be fair. I never thought this was anything that was going to happen in my life. I don't know anybody who's getting married. I never thought, you know, anybody's going to have me be a bridesmaid or anything special. I'm just that weird girl that's over in the corner all the time and talks people's ears off about science fiction. But, you know, I am, and it's awesome. And so, yeah, I'm up here in Wisconsin. And if there's anybody up here when I'm listening to this, I put out a tweet letting people know I'm going to go on Discord and talk to some people. Like, hey, I'm up in Wisconsin and I'm in Chicago. Who wants to hang out? So, yeah, that's what's going on right now. So, getting into the actual subject of today's podcast, though, we are going to talk about the history of BattleTech. And I mean the history of BattleTech, mainly before Catalyst got hold of it. And we're going to be looking at this from the outside. It's not looking at the, you know, the inside of it. Because BattleTech itself was a product of FASA, which would run the game up until the Federated Commonwealth Civil War. In the beginning, FASA created battle droids, and Lucas was not happy about it. This was the original first conspiracy of BattleTech that everyone seems to forget. Shortly after, the game's name was changed to BattleTech from Battle Droids, and FASA took off with it. They made a contract, which they thought was legitimate, for most of the original mechs in the game from a company that had the rights to what would become some of the original and most iconic mechs. This is things like the Marauder, the Warhammer, the Ost series of mechs, the Locust, Stinger, Wasp, Phoenix, Hawk, you know the ones I'm talking about, Griffin, Shadowhawk, you know. The art for these mechs were part of the game for years, and nothing really bad happened in the game. BattleTech did have some success early on with computer games, these being Crescent Hawk's Inception and Revenge, and later MechWarrior titles for the Super Nintendo as well as the Sega Master System. Later on, BattleTech would see more video game success with the release of MechWarrior 2 as well as MechWarrior 2 Mercenaries. These titles were made by Activision, then followed by MechWarrior 3 by MicroProse, which was seen as lackluster as far as the franchise went, and then MechWarrior 4 and MechWarrior 4 Mercenaries. Now, MechWarrior 4 is where Microsoft would come into the picture. The period between MechWarrior 2 and MechWarrior 3 saw the removal of what became known as the Unseen Mechs, causing FASA to sell the digital rights of BattleTech to Microsoft by the time MechWarrior 4 came out. They also, as far as I understand, gave Rick Raisley a license to make mech record sheet software in perpetuity. So everything else out there, you know, that we use now is not technically legitimate. Rick made Heavy Metal Pro, which eventually fell by the wayside, but is still for sale on his website, even though it is highly outdated and has been replaced in all but legal name by programs like Mega Mech and Solaris Skunk Works. Well, Mega Mech Lab and Solaris Skunk Works. Both the license to Raisley as well as the selling of the digital rights to Microsoft would come back to bite BattleTech in the ass, because this is where we need to talk about the unseen and the demise of FASA. Now, as I mentioned earlier, FASA had licensed several images from a company that they thought had the rights to the U.S. images to many of the mechs used for the original game. A lawsuit from Harmony Gold would result in these images, as well as several other licensed images being removed from BattleTech as FASA decided they would be going to in-house images only. This ended up including mechs made by Victor Musical Industries, basically a lot of the 2C mechs, which include, you know, which pretty much was all your 2C mechs at the time. And the full list of the units removed from the game were the Archer, Battlemaster, Black Python slash Viper, Conjurer slash Hellhound, Crusader, the Galleon Light Tank, only the images from TRO 3025, not from any later products, the Glass Spider or Galahad, the Goliath, Grand Crusader, Griffin, Griffin 2C, Horned Owl or Peregrine, Howler or Baboon, Incubus or Vixen, Jenner 2C, Locust, Locust 2C, Longbow, Marauder, Marauder 2, Marauder 2C, the Nexus, the Phoenix Hawk, Phoenix Hawk 2C, the Phoenix Hawk Lamb, the Reijin, the Rifleman 2C, the Samurai Aerospace Fighter, the Scorpion, Shadowhawk, and its 2C version. Give me one moment. Sorry about that, food just arrived. Let's see. The Shadowhawk, Shadowhawk 2C, the Stinger Lamb, the Stone Rhino or Behemoth, the Thunderbolt, Valkyrie, Vapor Eagle or Goshawk, the Warhammer and its 2C version, the Wasp, it's the Lamb version of the Wasp, and the Wolverine. So the reason for this whole escapade, the lawsuits coming out of left field and everything involved, of all things, the BattleTech cartoon. When FASA was shopping around their idea for a BattleTech cartoon, one of the companies they reached out to was Playmates. Not long after doing this, Playmates ended up developing Exo Squad, which had many units that looked a lot like the mechs from Battletech, with one almost mirroring the Mad Cat to a T. FASA eventually found someone who would make the Battletech cartoon and ended up going after Playmates for what they saw as blatant use of their intellectual property. With this going on, Harmony Gold was brought into the conflict, and they sued FASA for using the images of the Unseen. And in doing so, FASA was now fighting on two fronts, and they didn't have the resources to do it. Also, apparently, the company which had sold FASA the rights to the units did not have the rights for them in the mediums which FASA used them, basically art and miniatures. And because of this, the Unseen were virtually ripped from the universe in visual form. And this included art and the miniatures made by Ral Partha. This led to an interim period where there were a multitude of recasters out there selling poorly made recast miniatures as original Ral Partha Unseens, which were commanding prices in the hundreds of dollars on sites like eBay. In the wake of this, FASA had issues, many issues, which led to more and more financial problems for the company, which couldn't be resolved by doing things like selling off digital rights to all their, you know, to all the different properties like Shadowrun, Earthdawn, Battletech, you know, so Renegade Legion, if that was even still alive, and the game was purchased by WizKids. So, this is what began the Dark Age of Battletech in both the real world and in the game world. WizKids had made a name for themselves with a series of click games, which bases that had different stats as they took damage, and you would click them in a clockwise direction as they took that damage, hence the term. In the broader community, the game was known as Clicky Tech, and did have a following. The universe itself was shrunk down to inside of the newest version of the Terran hegemony. This time it was called the Republic of the Sphere, and it left us all in the dark about the universe outside of this small bubble. During this time, the Battletech community kept the game alive online over internet relay chat channels. And eventually, a company in Germany, FanPro, acquired a license to produce what was called Classic Battletech. FanPro brought us through the Blakist era of the game in a very, very slow process and tried to take us through the Dark Age. One of the things that FanPro did in an attempt to resolve the Unseen problem was to redo the art for most of these units and introduce technical readout Project Phoenix. Now, the reception to the new art was mixed. And then the reception to the miniatures was, well, bad. The mechs that came out, for the most part, tried to harken back to the originals, but they were so different that they just didn't work for people. Eventually, though, Catalyst gained the license for Battletech and became wonderful stewards for the game. Catalyst began to readdress the Unseen issue, first by releasing a box set with new sculpts for a number of mechs, as well as a starter with two more new sculpts. There were also promotional materials depicting Grace and Carlisle's Re-Seen Marauder, well before the Kickstarter ever happened. But this was followed by the Kickstarter that updated many of the designs, including many of the Unseens, to newer standards, which were much more popular than the Project Phoenix designs. Fulfillment of the Kickstarter was delayed by about a year due to COVID, but it finally did deliver, and now the game has constant new releases, as well as a second Kickstarter that'll be bringing us even more designs. Now, under Catalyst, there have been some rumblings. There was the release of Blame Pardo, and the whole thing with the announcement that no new variants of the Rommel would be released. Some people have accused the company of being woke, and the universe is getting destroyed by tourists and extremists. I would say, though, that Battletech is doing incredibly well. It raised more money with the current Kickstarter than it did with the last one. I'm not going to go more into the whole thing with people accusing myself and others of being hobby tourists, other than to say that I've been part of this game for 30 years, and I plan on being here for as long as I can be. Now, we are going to go into the mech tech part of the episode. And before we do, I want to let you know about our sponsor, Fortress Games and Miniatures. Fortress has just about anything you might need for your game of Battletech, from minis, rule books and terrain, and so much more. They're your one-stop shop for the game. Check them out at fortressminiaturesandgames.com. Now, today we're going to talk about one of the unseen. And not only is it an unseen, it was in Project Phoenix as one of the reseen mechs. We're talking about a mech that has been around for so long and is one of the most recognizable and best looking in all three versions. Today, we look at the Rifleman. The Rifleman was originally designed in 2504 as a medium 50-ton mech for long-range direct fire support and anti-aircraft work. It utilizes a highly advanced fire control system, and in its original iteration, the Rifleman RFL-1N carried a large laser and medium laser in each arm. The mech had 11.5 tons of primitive armor, giving it decent protection for the era in which it was developed. The mech has a top speed of 64 kilometers an hour and saw action all the way into the Reunification Wars. It has a battle value of 931. The next iteration of the Rifleman is the 2N. The mech upgraded the armor, engine, and other components were replaced with new updated technologies in its release in 2556. The saved weight was used to update the design by upgrading it to have 15 heat sinks and replacing the arm-mounted large lasers with particle projection cannons, significantly upgrading its firepower and essentially turning it into something that resembles later designs like the Uziel. The mech added two additional medium lasers, one in each side torso, for additional close-range firepower. The mech was produced up until the release of the RFL-3N in 2770, giving it a production run of over 200 years. The 2N has a battle value of 1093. Then we have the first iteration of something that we would recognize as the Rifleman, the RFL-3N. The 3N model comes in at a hefty 60 tons and leans into its role as an anti-aircraft machine. The mech has a pair of large lasers and autocannons, harkening back to the 1N while also using proven anti-air technology. The mech has a pair of medium lasers for close-in work. For protection, the mech carries a paltry 7.5 tons of armor and is cooled by 10 heat sinks, leaving it with many of the problems that the design suffered through in its first two iterations. The 3N is a mainstay of the battlefield, though, until the clan invasion, and comes in at a battle value of 1,039. The Royal Units of the Star League Defense Force wanted a Rifleman to call their own, though, and so a special version was created called the Rifleman II. I am including it here because of the fact that this was the Royal Rifleman for all intents and purposes. To get what they wanted, Callan bumped the design up by 20 tons, turning it into an assault mech. It began being built in 2773 and is built on an endosteel chassis with an extra light engine. The mech has a pair of LB-10X autocannons, one in each arm, as well as a large pulse laser in each arm with a pair of medium lasers for close-in work, and a Beagle active probe to give it even better enemy detection technology. It has a respectable 12 tons of armor and is cooled by 14 double heat sinks, giving it a reliable amount of cooling for its weapon systems. It retains the same top speed as the standard Rifleman. The RFL-3N-2 comes in at a battle value of 1543. A variant built by House Davian in 3026, the next variant is the 3C of Rifleman. This variant takes a cue from the Rifleman II, the SLDF, and strips out the arm-mounted autocannons and large lasers for an autocannon 10 in each arm with 2 tons of ammunition. This model has a battle value of 1066. A later variant of the 3C was built during the Blakist era. It is known as the 3CR. The mech adds an extra light gyro and increases its armor protection through the use of heavy ferrofibrous armor. It does save enough weight to add 2 medium lasers, and the mech is capable of using the then recently developed specialty ammunition available for its standard autocannons. The 3CR comes in at 1129 battle value. The 4D variant of the Rifleman was a second redesign by House Davian. This one came out 5 years before the 3C and is essentially a modern reinterpretation of the 2N. It carries as its primary weapons a pair of PPCs, one in each arm, in place of the autocannons. The mech also has 5 heat sinks to the design, with it still carrying the large and medium lasers as it's bristling with firepower but suffers from over heating issues. The 4D has a battle value of 1173. The 5CS is a Comstar upgrade to the design. Theoretically, it is designed as a clan buster, though it doesn't seem to excel at this. The top speed's been increased to 86 kilometers an hour, and it carries a pair of Ultra Autocannon 5s with one in each arm, while keeping the large lasers. The design, though, has very light armor, and if not supported, it can easily be taken down. It has a battle value of 1303. The 5D... 5D is another Davian variant of the Rifleman. This one is an upgrade that began seeing deployment during the Clan Invasion. It uses the 4D as its base. The mech carries in each of its arms an extended range PPC and has medium lasers in each side torso. The 5D is cooled by 17 double heat sinks and has none of its has 9 tons of armor protection. It does use an extra light engine to gain much of this space, though, and is a bit more fragile because of it. The 5D has a battle value of 1395. Had to catch my breath. There's a lot of these to go through. Another Clan Invasion upgrade was the 5M. This variant was introduced in 3049. Starts off as a 3N and replaces the standard autocannons with Ultra models and protects the ammunition with case. This is... This is made possible through the use of an extra light engine, but prevents full that is protected by case in case of a full ammunition explosion, so it is salvageable, but it's also easier to kill. The mech does upgrade the cooling system with the addition of 12 double heat sinks and has a battle value of 1227. Next up, we have a pair of Rifleman variants that are very related to each other, evolutionary, you might say. The first is the 6X, which was an experimental design introduced in 3063. The mech uses an extra light engine to attain a speed of 86 kilometers an hour and is built on an endosteel chassis. Carries a pair of LB-10X autocannons as its primary weapons with ER medium and small lasers for knife fighting. The 6X has a battle value of 1464. The 6D is based on the 6X and went into service 6 years later. This design has a C3 slave, allowing it to work in C3 lances and companies. It carries as its main weapons a pair of arm-mounted light autocannon 5s, which can use specialty ammunition developed by House Davian, and has a battle value of 1274. So we're getting into the 7 series of Riflemen. We're almost done with the Battletech stats. I promise. The 7 series starts with the 7G. It's a Free Worlds variant that carries as its primary arm-mounted weapons a pair of silver bullet Gauss rifles, which work like a standard Gauss rifle, or fire flechette rounds like an LBX autocannon, giving it a great deal of flexibility. The mech uses an endosteel chassis and an extra light engine to save weight, which does make it more fragile. The 7G has a battle value of 1302. Next up in the 7 series, we have the 7M. It's built by Vicker Industries in 3066 and is a long-range sniper using light Gauss rifles, one in each arm, and has, for close-range firepower, 6 ER medium lasers, so basically half of what a Nova has, and a small laser. It does carry an ECM suite to allow it to jam electronic warfare systems and C3, and this very high-end, very expensive sniper comes in at about a battle value of 1521. Then you have the 7M. It is a straightforward upgrade of the 3M. It has in each arm an LB5X autocannon and an extended range large laser. With an ER medium laser in each side torso. This is all cooled with 13 double heat sinks and powered by an extra light engine, which is built with an endosteel chassis. The ammunition for the autocannons is protected by Case 2, making it far more survivable than many of the previous variants. 7N has a battle value of 1398. So after the 7N is the 7N2. It's basically an upgrade of the 7N. It swaps the arm-mounted weapons for an LB-10X autocannon and light PPC in each arm, and with its ammo once again protected by Case 2, and downgrades its double heat sinks to 10. Now, this gives it a battle value of 1452 and makes it an amazing long-range support mech. The last of the 7 series is the 7X. This variant is a full-on, high-end upgrade of the Rifleman. It uses an extra light engine and gyro to achieve a top speed of 97 kilometers an hour and has 6 jump jets for added maneuverability. Its main armament is a light PPC and snub-nose PPC in each arm, making it fast but fragile with middling firepower. This all costs you a mere 1645 in battle value. The first of the 8 series, though, is once again another Davian variant of the Rifleman. This variant is the RFL-8D. Now, before I go into anything, this is one of the best-looking Project Phoenix designs, and in my opinion, is one of the best-looking versions of the Rifleman. The Rifleman 8D is, to steal a term from Tex of the Black Pants Legion, a Burt dispenser. The 8D has a rotary autocannon 5 and ER medium laser in each arm, has 11 double heat sinks, as well as a very respectable 12 tons of armor. The 8D also mounts 4 jump jets, giving it an enhanced amount of mobility. The 8D Rifleman is powered by an extra light engine and built on an endosteel chassis. This bullet hose can be yours for a battle value of 1777, which isn't bad in the grand scheme of things. Now, the Republic of the Sphere, after they came around, they decided they needed their own Rifleman variant, and they built theirs around the light engine, giving it a speed of 86 kilometers an hour. It's armed with a pair of arm-mounted PPCs and 4 ER medium lasers as close-range weapons. Has a battle value of 1798. And that would be the 8X, by the way. And then the final Inner Sphere built Rifleman is the 9T. This is a stealth Rifleman, which is built with a targeting computer and stealth armor, making it a mech that is very close to the bleeding edge. The 9T has a pair of light PPCs and autocannon 5s as its main weapons, with 4 ER medium lasers for knife fights. This weird ninja version of the Rifleman has a battle value of 1546. Now the clans, feeling attached to their Star League roots, and having a number of Star League Defense Force Riflemen that they could refit, made 3 variants of their own. The first of this is the Rifleman C. This is a very straightforward refit, stripping out all of the weapons and replacing them with a large pulse laser and an LB-5X autocannon in each arm. With 12 double heat sinks for cooling, comes in at a battle value of 1335 and is a respectable, straightforward refit. The next one we have is the C2, and it was built in 3083. Uses an extra light engine, so double extra light engine, and improved jump jets to give it exceptional mobility. It has ferrofibrous armor and carries an ER large laser and improved heavy laser in each arm, and has a battle value of 2150. And then the final clan refit of the Rifleman is the C3. This is built by Clan Seafox and has an ER large laser and Ultra AC5 in each arm. It's built on an endosteel chassis and has 2 torso-mounted ER medium lasers with 14 double heat sinks, and it has a total battle value of 1871. So that is all of our stats here in Battletech, classic Battletech. But what about Alpha Strike? We have to cover Alpha Strike, right? Well, we're going to. And we're going to start with the 1N, of course. Now, the 1N is Type Battle Mech, size 2, TMM1, movement of 8. It's a brawler. Comes in at 22 points. Has short and medium values of 2, no long value, but it does have an overheat of 1. For its era, it's respectable. It does have 4 armor and 4 structure. Of course, being a 50-tonner back in the Age of War, it's still respectable. Also, it has a special of energy, so you cannot blow it up with an ammo explosion. Always useful. Now, the 2N, which is the upgrade to that, it's also a battle mech, size 2, TMM1, movement of 8. It's a sniper and 26 points. It's short and long are 2. It has a medium of 3 with 1 overheat. Once again, it's 4 armor, 4 structure, and it's energy, so you cannot blow it up with ammo explosions. We then get into the 3N rifleman. Now, this rifleman, you're going to see a lot of similarities to the 2N predecessor in Alpha Strike, but you're also not. So it's Battle Mech size 3, TMM1, movement of 8, sniper. Comes in at 26 points, just like the 2N. Short and medium of 2, long of 1, with an overheat of 2, 4 armor, 5 structure, no specials. Now, it's mainly getting that point boost by going up to being a heavy, being a heavy mech, because otherwise it's really not super effective. And to be fair, I would rather have the 2N in Alpha Strike over the 3N. They're the same points, and the 2N's just more effective. But then we have the 3N's big brother, the RFL-3N-2 Rifleman 2, the Starlead Defense Force's baby. It's a battle mech, size 4, target move of 1, movement of 8, a brawler. 5 and 5 at short and medium, with 2 at long and no overheat. Of course, this one actually has 6 armor and 4 structure, making it a little bit beefier. Specials of FLAC 111, probe, and recon at a cost of 41 points, making it a short and medium monster for the era. By modern standards, though, it is somewhat anemic, which says a lot, actually, especially when you look at the later riflemen. The Rifleman 3C is 28 points. The Battle Mech size 3, target move of 1. Movement of 8, it's also a brawler. Does 3 at short and medium, no overheat, but it has 5 armor, 5 structure, with a special of AC22, making it capable of using specialty munitions in Alpha Strike, which don't have a point cost. Just saying, if we're doing competitive Alpha Strike, we need to start costing special doodads. Then we have the 3CR. It's 28 points as well. Battle mech size 3, TMM of 1, movement of 8, brawler 330, no overheat, armor and structure are both 5, has AC 220 and case, which I think is a wonderful improvement. And seeing as how it has almost identical stats to the standard C, it is quite frankly a no-brainer which you're going to take there. Because the CR is going to survive a hit that the C wouldn't. After the CR, we have the 4D, 27 points, battle mech size 3, target move of 1, movement of 8, sniper once again. Short, medium, and long, and overheat, all are twos, because why not? Armor is 4, structure is 5, special is energy. So at least it won't blow up from ammunition explosions. You'll just overheat yourself to death. The 5CS is a 35-point rifleman, battle mech, size 3, TMM of 2, movement of 10, sniper. Short is 3, medium is 4, long is 2. So medium is its golden arrow, which is or golden range, which is where you want to have most people anyway. Armor comes in at 5, structure comes in at 3, and has no specials. So it's your bargain basement modern rifleman. The 5D, 32 points, battle mech, size 3, target move 1, movement of 8, brawler 442 with overheat of 1. Armor 5, structure of 3, and we're back to having energy. Now, this is actually a very good rifleman upgrade, in my opinion, because it does go back to the old riflemans, the mediums. And it's in Alpha Strike, it's quite effective, actually. There's not a lot of structure to take the hits, but there is, some structure. It's not going to blow up from an ammo explosion. Then you have the 5M, 31 pointer, battle mech size 3, TMM of 1, movement of 8. It's a brawler, 442, no overheat, armor of 5, structure of 3 of case. Basically, it's a slightly less robust 5D, but it'll do the job when you need it. Then you have the 6X. The 6X is 35 points. Battle mech size 3, TMM2, movement of 10, sniper. Short, medium of 3, long of 2, no overheat value, armor of 6. So we're seeing an increase in armor. That's awesome. Structure of 3, which means it's a little easier to kill once you get through it. Has case and flak. It'll survive at least one ammo explosion. Always a good thing. Then you have the 6D, which is based on the 6X. 35 points. Battle mech. Size 3. Team M2. Moving to 10. Skirmisher. 330. No overheat value. 6 armor. 3 structure. Specials, though, are AC of 220. C3 slave. Case and mech headquarter 1. Making it capable of actually working with the C3 network, which makes it way deadlier if you're using one. Then we have the 7G, which comes, you know, that's like 2 cell phone plans ahead. It's 28 points, battle mech size 3, TMM of 1, movement of 8, sniper, 3-3-2 for short, medium, and long, no overheat, armor of 5, structure of 3, flak of 2-2-2. We then have the 7M. It's battle mech size 3, TMM 1, movement of 8. It's a brawler, short and medium of 4, long of 2 with 1 overheat and ECM, so it can interrupt C3 networks and C3I networks. The 7N, which is battle mech size 3, TMM of 1, movement of 8, sniper, 3 across the board on short, medium, and long with overheat of 1, armor of 6, structure of 3 with case 2, and then flak 0, asterisk, then 1-1. So this one is immune to ammo explosions in Alpha Strike, which is always a plus. Once again, though, there's only so much utility you're getting out of that ability with 3 structure. The 7N2 is pretty much much of the same in a different name. I think it's even got the same damage stats, and yeah, slightly better at one thing. It's battle mech size 3, TMM1, movement of 8, sniper 3-3-3, overheat 1, armor 6, structure 3, case 2 once again, but its flak is literally slightly better. It's flak 1-1-1. So the 7N and 7N2 are almost functionally identical in Alpha Strike. They cost the same, and I would take the 7N2 over the 7N whenever possible, because your flak is just a tiny bit better for the same point cost. Then you have the 7X. It's a 30-pointer. Battle mech size 3, TMM2, 12 jump, skirmisher. Yeah, you heard that right. It's a skirmisher. It's a skirmishing rifleman. We start to get into some of these. They're interesting. It's a 3 short, 2 medium, long of 1 with an overheat of 1, 5 armor, 3 structure with energy. Not to simplify it too much, but this thing's just weird. It makes my brain hurt. Then we have my baby, the 8D, and it has some good stuff and bad stuff in Alpha Strike. 35 points, battle mech, size 3, target move of 1, 8 jump, skirmisher. Short, medium, or 5, no long value, no overheat, armor of 6, structure of 3. But then it has no case. It has no case 2. It no specials whatsoever. It's really, really easy to use. It's a stick. You just hit people with it. The problem is it's a stick that can explode. So it's like hitting people with dynamite. Eventually somebody's going to have a match. As much as I like it, it's got its problems. And there's like, we need to look at mechs by faction at some point. Because like if you look at Fed Sun's mechs, they have a tendency to like not do the case thing, and it's just not really usable sometimes. Then we have the 8X Rifleman. This version of the Rifleman is 38 points, battle mech size 3, target move 2, movement of 10, skirmisher, short, medium of 3, long of 2, overheat of 1, armor of 7, which is ridiculous for a Rifleman, structure of 3, specials energy. It's an interesting model. Like you'll notice a lot of the riflemen don't step outside of a certain point variance, and they don't step outside of a certain damage profile, and it's usually in the high 20s, with every now and then you have something that pops out like this. And then we have the last of the Inner Spear Riflemen, the 9T, at 35 points. Battle Mech, size 3, target move of 1, movement of 8. It's a brawler. 3-3-2, short, medium, and long, overheated 1. Armor and structure, both of 5. And then you have specials of Case, ECM, and Stealth. So, weird ninja riflemen. Don't know what else to say there. So we get into the C variants, the clan's refits of the Rifleman, because they love it so much. The Rifleman C is a 26-pointer, battle mech, size 3, target move of 1, movement of 8. It's a sniper. Short, medium, and long of 2, overheat of 1, 4 armor, 5 structure. Flak is 0 asterisk on all 3, and it has the ability to overheat at long range. It's... In Alpha Strike, they really didn't improve it. They just sort of made it microscopically better. And I have no clue how they pulled that off. Then we have the C2. So this is the first better version. It's a 45-pointer, battle mech, size 3, TMM2, movement of 12/18 jump. It's a skirmisher, 3-3-2 for short, medium, and long. Overheat of 1, armor of 6, structure of 3, jump and case and jump strong 1. I think it's an experimental. It's really, it's a harasser more than a skirmisher. You don't really want to engage anybody who's going to be able to hit you back that easily. But you're also not going to see it that often in tournament play because it's experimental, so nobody's really going to get to use it. And then you have what I think is probably the best of these C variants, the C3 Rifleman. It's 38 points. It's a battle mech, size 3, target movement modifier of 1, movement of 8. It's a sniper, has 4 across the board, a short, medium, and long with an overheat of 1. Has a very respectable armor and structure of 6 and 5 for its size, and has a special of Case. This is what I think is the ultimate standard upgrade of the Rifleman by the clans, without getting into the 2C. Oh, sorry about that. There's a party going on upstairs. Overall, the Rifleman stays pretty true to what it does. It's a long-range direct fire support mech in most of its configurations. So that is pretty much our episode for today, for this month. If you want to support the podcast, I highly encourage it. You can go to patreon.com/unicorncompany. If you are a patron at the $10 or up tier, you are entered every month into a drawing for something that I have reviewed, either be it that month or sometime prior. We're going to be starting that in September. And also, another way to support us is go over to FortressMiniaturesAndGames.com. Let them know in the comments when you make your purchase that you came over from listening to the Unicorn Company podcast. So until next time, this is Carrie signing off. I'm gonna find my meaning. I can make a change. I wanna play the